You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome. We keep hearing the term smart city bandied about. Ever since Narendra Modi came to power, we keep hearing that term on and off. But have we ever stopped to consider what a smart city is? Is a city going to consume a lot of bhindi and all of a sudden start solving Rubik's Cube? I don't know, maybe. Because, well, we're not entirely sure. And that is precisely why, on this edition of Digging Deeper, we take a look at what a smart city is and how far we have come in terms of developing them in India. This is Digging Deeper with Money Control, with me, Rakesh Sharma.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
The Smart City Project was one of the flagship programs launched by the NDA 2 government, otherwise referred to as Modi 1.0. While the term smart might conjure up images of hyper-intelligent cities, what the term really means is cities that are efficient and sustainable, helping their citizens lead better lives through the employment of technology in all spheres of public life. We just marked the fourth anniversary of the launch of the mission on the 25th of June 2019. The concept generated a lot of interest among people, and they've been monitored off and on in the press and in living room talk about what it will mean for urban Indians in the coming years and decades, and how it will change our mostly organically developed cities into engines of efficiency. But before we look at where we are with the Smart City Project, we need to see what the mission promises. The Smart City Mission was launched in June 2015 with the idea of recreating Indian cities into hubs or zones of efficiency and sustainability with a focus on basic infrastructure. In the words of the Ministry of Housing and Urban Affairs, give a decent quality of life to its citizens, a clean and sustainable environment, and application of smart solutions. That sounds suitably ambiguous. Some of the basic necessities that were included as part of the objective are utilities such as electricity, sanitation, water supply, and public transport. Apart from this, focus was also laid on public safety, support for the disadvantaged and weak, environment friendliness, and affordable housing. Emphasis would also be laid on providing access to good health and education for all. All this was to be built on a foundation of good governance, supported by digitization and robust internet connectivity. The cities were selected based on a challenge within states. The result of the competition was a list of 20 cities in the first round. This was followed by further selection rounds, where more cities were added to bring the total to 100. The ambitious project would raise the profile and livability of these 100 cities, and this would be a catalyst for the transformation of urban India as a whole over a period of time. Technology would, of course, be the thread running through the concept. E-governance is the most obvious of them all. Create universal internet access and then make all the components of governance available at the fingertips of citizens. This obviates the need for people to queue up at government offices for basic things like accessing information, getting forms of all kinds, fee payment, registering complaints, and other such sundry little things you and I hate. This also enables citizens to engage seamlessly with the government at the community level without having to depend on personal contact. Infrastructure improvement focuses on well-surfaced and lit roads, utilities which include uninterrupted or at least a reliable supply of water, electricity, sanitation facilities, and public transport that eases movement of people around the city with the least hassle. Making this possible will be good traffic systems, pedestrian-friendly pavements, multiple modes of transport using nodal systems, and the use of technology in integrated traffic management. It also factors in the provision of adequate public spaces for relaxation, recreation, and public engagement. Though supply of water naturally has to depend on its availability, part of the Smart City Mission's plan was to ensure that water supply was universal and reliable, and also that the quality of water was good and uniform. Treatment plants and pipelines were to be upgraded to cater to not just current population, but also projected populations for the next decade or two. Another indicator of quality of life is availability of electricity. The aim, as far as power is concerned, is aligned with the national outlook, which seeks to provide not just reliable power supply, but uninterrupted supply without any fluctuations. Part of this is an increased reliance on renewable alternative sources of power, such as solar and wind, which also carries forward the message of sustainability and environment friendliness. Sanitation and waste management remain big bugbears all over the country, and the smart cities are to be designed to be efficient in this area as well. Recycling is central to this. Scarce resources like water are to be recycled, solid waste is to be made biodegradable where possible, and waste is to be converted into compost or fuel where that is possible. In both water and electricity supply, leakage and misuse are to be prevented and hardware infrastructure renewed to increase efficiency and reduce wastage. The smart cities were also said to be ideals where the national problems of health and education are concerned. With advanced technology that can easily provide long-range solutions using audiovisual aids, the disadvantaged sections of society, especially in the poorer sections of societies, were to be provided basic amenities, literacy, and quality school education. The smart city's mission, in a sense, encapsulated the problems that are faced all over India, whether in the urban or in the rural areas. This was to be a test case, which could then be replicated across other urban agglomerations and also taken to the rural areas. The total outlay for the smart city's mission is a little over 2 lakh crore rupees. That translates to an average of 2,000 crore rupees per city. Though, those allocations would not be the same for all the cities because the approved proposals would be of different value for different cities. Out of this, 500 crore rupees is given by the centre to each city, with the state government coming up with a similar amount. Apart from this seed fund, any remaining amount will have to be borne by the city concerned. As I said earlier, it is now 4 years since this smart city mission was flagged off. Modi 2.0 is also in place and arguably in a better position than ever before. So it is probably a good time to take a look at where we stand vis-a-vis the mission. I've given you what they said they were going to do and what they hoped to do. Have we done it? That's the question. India is also at a stage where now more than 500 million of its population lives in urban areas. That is slated to rise to 600 million in less than a decade. How much of the smart city's mission work has happened in these 4 years? Are things on schedule? To what extent has it made a difference to the cities concerned, and how much of the changes are visible to the casual observer? In a project of this magnitude and of such complexity and detail, implementation will have many layers. Timelines will have to be set with the cooperation of the respective state governments and the city administrations. Each of the components of the project will have to be dealt with separately, and sometimes each city as well. This would involve the distribution of hundreds, maybe even thousands of contracts. The resource allocation was to be spread across 5 years, and according to the government data, most of the allocation has been done. At the start of the year 2019, more than 5,000 projects to do with the smart city mission had been approved. This accounted for almost all of the 2 lakh plus crore rupees that the overall project had allocated. While this casts a rather favorable light on the progress of the project, we are here talking only about the awarding of the contracts. When it comes to the matter of completion of work schedules, the picture is quite different. While the government says more than 700 of the 5,000 projects have been completed, the money actually allocated to the projects is only 16.6 thousand crore rupees, which is less than 10% of the overall project allocation. And less than a quarter of this, that is about 3,500 crore rupees, has been spent on actual work. This was till the beginning of 2019. This suggests that there is a considerable delay, to put it mildly, in implementation. It is also to be remembered that the original timeline has been extended now and the project is slated for completion only by 2023. It is worth noting here that the pace of work is going to be different because of the involvement of multiple agencies and local conditions will impact implementation to a large degree. The coordination of local agencies is generally a complex situation to handle for most cities for even small single-point projects. For something like the Smart Cities project, which puts together the largest imaginable bouquet of development activities, the complexity involved would be unprecedented. Imagine getting the electricity boards, the water and sanitation authorities, the public works department, the road authority, communication agencies, city administrations, housing department, yada, 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 to work in tandem. It would be akin to having a tiny bit of a nightmare every waking moment. Apart from that, every city will have its own particular problems, or, well, lack of them. For instance, a city where water or power supply has to be augmented, or basic infrastructure like roads have to be improved, is more likely to end up stretching the timeline rather than where all these are in place. And the focus is primarily on digitization or e-connectivity, and the work is more software-based. A somewhat different concern that has been voiced by various NGOs and agencies monitoring the smart city's mission is that the proposed development is confined to certain pockets of the cities, mainly the business districts and other central locations. Their contention is that this is not likely to benefit the cities in the most ideal way. The city is not likely to see uniform development benefiting everyone across sections of society, and we could see some kind of ghettoization in the end, little islands of development and large areas around where no development. The government, however, insists that everything is being taken care of and the development will be integrated. People in local administrations are being trained to see that there is seamless delivery of benefits and that things are done to the best effect. Critics point to the fact that government data itself show that allocation for citywide development is less than a quarter of localized development allotment, that is 39,000 crore rupees against 1,64,000 crore rupees. In fact, with the initial delays, starting with the process of selection of the cities, now impacting further work, it might not be possible to meaningfully measure the rate of progress. Part of this is also to do with the enormous spread of the project. The 20 cities which were in the first list of smart cities are now slated to be completed by 2021. However, this timeline is likely to be extended if one is to take a look at preliminary allocations and money already spent. Year 2021, though, could be a good time to take stock because a good chunk of the work should have been done by then, as promised. There are also the gaps between idea and effect that have to be kept in mind. The tragedy of local mobility that China saw when its bicycle scheme did not quite take off, or rather landed abruptly. Something like that, though on a much smaller scale, has been seen in cities like Bangalore and Pune. It takes concerted effort to get things done and to ensure that they are done in a way that it is possible and makes sense for people to use the facilities that have been given to them. At this stage, it is to be hoped that a humongous and potentially massively influential idea like the Smart Cities Mission will succeed at the levels of intent, ideation, and implementation. India is at a turn where it needs a fillip like that, and a successful beginning of an audacious plan in a country which is seeing increasingly fast urbanization could make all the difference. But ideas are one thing, implementation are a whole other. Will it happen? Will it happen faster than it is happening? Or will we see a perpetual extension of deadlines? As they say, watch this space.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.